This podcast is Entail Enhanced. To see pictures, articles, and links of what's being discussed, download the Entail app.
Hi, I'm Anchal, YouTuber, Instagrammer, a real voice for the brown girls, and now an author. Pre-orders for What Would the Auntie Say the Book are now available on Waterstones, WH Smith, Amazon, and all other major book retailers. Join me and some very special guests where we discuss taboo subjects and really give the aunties something to talk about. In today's episode, I'm joined by my lovely friend Nikki Mahone, who is also the boss babe behind the amazing jewelry and homeware brand Nikita by Nikki. We discuss moving out before marriage and what the aunties might have to say about that, as well as how to tackle your parents on the subject, plus so much more. It gets deep. You know me, guys, I'm always on the verge of tears. But without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. Hey, Nikki.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm so happy to be on your podcast. I'm really excited.
Me too. I feel like this had to happen, especially since I was on your podcast as well.
Buddies, so nice.
I know. But this time we're talking about something a little bit different, something a bit deep. And yeah, I've never really heard you speak about the topic of moving out or moving out before marriage. So I'm actually really, really interested to hear your story and your side of things. And I feel like you're someone that's sort of been breaking all of the brown girl boundaries because you've been running your own business and you've started that up yourself. You've had a boyfriend publicly and you have also moved out before marriage. And I just want to know, has it been an intention of yours to go against the grain, or is that just how things have unfolded?
First of all, thank you. I love that that's how it's come across, like I'm sort of breaking boundaries. I think that's really nice. I haven't really even thought about it too much in terms of the moving out thing. Obviously the business side of things, I get asked about that a lot, but the business side of things, in terms of starting a business, the only real resistance that I experienced was in my past relationship, where it wasn't necessarily welcome that a professional was required
for really
and I didn't fit the bill. So if I'm being completely open and honest, that was my main sort of negative like experience when it comes to, oh, she wants to start a business. Whereas my dad is a businessman and he sells products himself, so I have sort of grown up around that.
Yeah.
And I think that has sort of removed any stigma within my, oh, you need to go and be a lawyer, a dentist, or a doctor, thing that. So I'm very lucky in that sense, because it was always seen as a good thing, even back in the day, to have your own business. But what I will say, I don't think any of my family expected it from me, because I was the youngest. I was the creative one. I used to dance. And everyone's, oh, Nikki's going to be in Bollywood music videos. Nikki's going to do this. Like, nobody had any actual expectations from me, which is quite bizarre, because you've got the side of it where people put too much pressure on you. But I had the opposite, where I didn't have any pressure on me. People didn't actually see any potential in me being of substance. So I think I almost felt like that was a bit of a driving force in a way. And I like the fact I surprised a lot of family members when I started to do what I did.
Yeah.
And it was off my own board as well, despite my dad being a businessman. My relationship's not that great with my dad, if I'm honest with you. It's a bit up and down. So I don't really like to depend on, well, any guy really. I'd rather figure things out on my own. And yeah, I think that's how I've sort of navigated starting a business. The main, you know, the main sort of doubts were with my past relationships, but in terms of my family, they've always been supportive.
Mm.
And also just generally just shocked each time I was progressing. They didn't expect anything from me, which is an interesting side of it, because yeah, from the, normally people have more pressure than they do.
I can relate to you on so many levels. A part of me thinks that, is it, do they have less expectations because you're a girl? Because I feel the same way. I feel like there's less expectation maybe on me because I'm a girl as well.
I know what you mean. It's when you're creative as well. So obviously you're creative. You do your makeup. You're so good at that. You're an artist. And I think when people see you like that, they probably think, oh, she's not going to be a money maker. She's going to be having a nice little life. But there's no, you know, no one thinks of you of being able to accomplish
bigger things.
So
yeah,
absolutely. I think that, and it's something I haven't really heard many people talk about. It's always been about, oh, the pressures of I need to be this because my family are pushing me. But I weirdly had the opposite. So it's only really now I'm thinking about it. Like,
yeah. I feel the same. I feel like my family have been supportive, but I almost feel like I've gone against the grain almost to prove them wrong and show them that I can be a rebel, but I can still be successful. And like all the things that you're going to tell me that I can't do or shouldn't do, I'm going to do it times 10.
Yeah. Oh my God. Good for you. That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Be, man. Good.
But just going back to kind of the topic of sort of moving out and all of that, you moved out with your he was your boyfriend at the time, I guess, right?
So I basically, right. So I left a toxic relationship.
Okay.
I'm quite open about that. So yeah, left a toxic relationship. And I ended up seeing Jack, I would say, to be honest, a bit too soon after I broke up with someone. Like I technically needed more time to heal, but I met Jack when I did. And I'm glad I did, because you can't change a course of something like that when it was so natural. So I was prepared to be single for a long time.
Yeah.
We met, and funnily enough, I've known him my whole life, literally pretty much since early school. Because he went to the boys' grammar, I went to the girls' grammar in the same town. And I did not expect that I would now be marrying the guy that was down the road from me this whole time. And I had been traveling, I've been going to blooming other ends of the UK for these relationships in the past. And all that time it's down the road, I just can't believe it. But yeah, it was so organic. And you know, when you're just on the same maturity level, there was no games. And I think, for us, when we were going on a bit of a whirlwind, we didn't tell anybody for ages because we wanted to make sure. And I didn't want people to think he was a rebound because it was so soon after my last relationship. But in fact, we ended up wanting to move out and live together only like 8 months in relationship, which is very soon.
How did you feel about that?
I think, I needed it because, I don't know, basically after uni, I went to live with my mom and dad, which is a very privileged position to be in. I am so grateful for that because I was able to save for our first place. But there was a point where I clashed with my dad, and I don't want to. I'm actually, but he just like bring out a really fiery side in each other. And I just don't, I'm not like that otherwise.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes relationships are so much better when you have more space for one another. And it was becoming more and more prevalent. And I was spending a lot of time with Jack. Like I was never at home anyway. And it was such a waste of time. I was spending a lot of time outside the house where I was always a home girl before. I'd always cuddle up and watch movies with my mum. Like I was always like that. But then I don't know, something clicked. Like I was 25, 26 and I was independent as anything. I just needed my own space. And I know so many girl DMs and stuff just asked me like, how did you speak to your dad about moving out with a guy and blah, blah, blah. And absolutely, and I did have to navigate it quite carefully. And yeah, it was definitely, we were really sure about it. We'd seen the old flats being built down the road in a really cool, like good area for us, like in terms of links to London and all this, and it was a good price, we could afford it, and we were quite excited about it. We didn't really tell anyone just yet, and then when we knew we could actually go ahead with it and there was a place available for us, then I thought I need to actually chat with my dad. And that was interesting. So he knew I was seeing Jack, like I told him, which was also quite interesting. But to be honest, he really liked Jack from when I was, he's known Jack as well. Like Jack's been at my parties and stuff. Like my dad actually has known him growing up and knows he's a good guy through other people in that area as well. I think he was secretly approved, which helped, especially after, you know, he heard me arguing in stuff relationship. He knew I wasn't happy. So he was happy that I'm, you know, moving ahead with a potential sensible candidate.
Yes.
Jack got to get involved with my family and stuff. And we did, it's so funny how quick it actually was when I look back at it, but the conversation with my dad, right? So he knew we were looking through the grapevine. No one actually told him directly. He caught
wind. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really channeled my inner calm because this was such an important conversation with my dad. And we've got such a history of just blowing up at each other for no good reason. And I sat him down and I just said, "Dad, I'm thinking of moving out and living with Jack." And he was really quiet. And to be honest, he's not the strictest. I'm not from a very strict Indian family, to be honest. I'm lucky in terms of how independent I've been able to be growing up. But even this topic was awkward, like hella awkward. So I basically just asked him, this is what I want to do. And he went quiet and I could tell, like, you know, the shame.
Yes.
He comes over like, oh, you know.
You're like, say something, yeah. Anything.
And I know all he was thinking of, what am I going to tell people? That's it. He knew in his heart it was time for me to move out the house. Like,
yeah.
He knew that him and mum needed probably wanted me out, even though we get along fine, but it's like they were ready for me to leave.
Right.
They knew it would be a good investment for me to actually buy a property and not rent it. So I could tell, like, deep down, he was probably okay with the decision. He liked Jack, he's a good guy, knows we're serious as anything. But yeah, so that was a bit, my mum also said, like, maybe you should be engaged first at least. And I said, "Mum, I think I need to move out." And I said to my dad as well, I was like, "Look, what are your concerns?" And he said, you know, what do we tell people naturally? And I said, we don't even have to really tell anyone I don't live here anymore, because who will really know? But apart from the fact, obviously, I post these sorts of things on social media, but my aunties aren't going to see that. So I basically spent that time being very, very calm, very level-headed and very reassuring. Mm. And it was a mature conversation. And I'm actually still proud of that, because...
Yeah, rather than going in all guns blazing.
Yeah, and getting defensive and being like, oh, you don't let me do what I want, blah, blah, and then kicking it off like I probably normally would have done.
No, I'm
very happy with how that went. And he was very quiet. Is all I'll say. But I know he knew it was a good idea, and I know he knew it was the right time. Like, I was 26, like, you know what you're doing at 26. I have to believe that. And then it was quite sweet actually, because then when we went to go and sign the mortgage and all this.
All of the documents.
Yeah, all the documentation. I came home and me and my dad were a bit awkward. And then he just gave me a hug and said, "Congratulations." And I thought, that was actually like a really big move on his part, because he just put all of those typical sort of feelings you'd have if your daughter was going to go and move out before marriage, I put them aside and just, you know, congratulated me on what was a great achievement to buy a property. So I did really appreciate that. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, that's pretty much the main crux of it. Yeah, it did involve an awkward conversation at first, but...
Yeah, it's so interesting, because I too have I don't know if volatile is the right word, but yeah, the relationship with my dad is really up and down, and it can get quite extreme. Oh my God, if I talk about it, I'm going to cry. Let's move that one aside. Yeah.
I've actually not spoken to anyone that's had the same sort of thing. A lot of my friends have really good relationships with their dad, and I'm like,
oh, right.
That's nice.
And then I just sort of don't. People don't actually talk about it, and... It's actually, well, I don't know if it's that common. I'm saying it's common, but because I'm talking to you and I'm hearing it. But yeah, I have a lot of people around me that have really good relationships with their dads. And I know that I can speak from, I don't want to say out, like everyone, but I know that my dad loves me. And I know, and I can, from listening to your story, your dad loves you very much. And he wants the best for you. And he probably... You know, that's why he's worried about what other people are going to say, or if you're making the right move, all of that. So it all comes from a place of love. It's just sometimes it's not shown.
It can be complicated.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a real difference in understanding, like, between different generations.
Yeah, I think it's just communication, to be honest, because I learned that when I had that one very good conversation with my dad. I was like, I wish we could speak to each other like this all the time. And the reason why I don't probably talk about it is because I don't want to disrespect him in any way, because that's fantastic. I just, for some reason, I get really wound up with stuff and I can't help it. And I really wish, I'm going to work on it, because... You know, my dad's getting older. I don't want to ever regret anything. I want to just have a good relationship. And we've got this space now. And, you know, I'm very lucky for all he does for us. So I'm just going to swallow it, because a certain age, I think, of a person, you can't expect them to change. And I think, if we're constantly putting that expectation, you'll always be disappointed. And I haven't got the energy for that anymore, man.
That's true. But it's really interesting you say that, because I feel like you're speaking from a place of someone that's been able to move out, separate yourself, have a boundary, and now reflect. Whereas I feel like I'm in a place of, like, I'm sitting in it and I'm still here. And do you know what I mean? Like, when you're, it's hard to then just say, like, okay, it is what it is, because, yeah, I still want to treat him and whatever, and my parents with love and respect. But it's so difficult when you are just in this bubble, basically. I've wanted to move out for years, and, like, I've made it really known for, like, a long time that I don't intend on staying here until I get married, and which is what I think my dad sort of pictures for me, for his daughter to leave as a married woman, to sort of give me away and all of that. And, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I'm about to be 30 years old. And also, I'm not putting that pressure on myself to get married by 30. And then, like, I'm sort of just taking things as they are, and I'm going along with things. And my thing is to be independent and to be able to accomplish things alone, without, you know, the approval of a man or in-laws of another family telling me what I can and can't do. So this is almost my battle, that, like, I want to do all of this, but you have your own idea and picture for what you want for your daughter, if that makes sense. And I understand that, because you want to give me away with love, or you want to put me in another home and make sure I'm protected or I'm cared for. But actually, they need to realize is that I can take care of myself, and I can protect myself, and I can love myself and do all of that just by myself. And it's needed sometimes to love yourself. You need to separate yourself from sometimes, yeah, just family or situations, to be able to fully do what you need to do for yourself.
So I basically realized that I'd actually been sharing a house, like, my whole life. So obviously I've lived at home with my mum and dad, with my brothers growing up, which was great. And then, you know, you go to uni and you share a house there and you're sharing all your stuff. And then I went back to live with my mum and dad. And I sort of just think, you know, you get to that point where you just want your own cutlery and you want your own plates. And you just want your own
stuff.
I know it sounds really materialistic, but there was a point when I was like, I just want my own stuff around. I just wanted to decorate and get into that flow.
Nikki, yes. Yeah. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. So it's more like the sharing of everything and, like, it being someone else's I don't know. I felt it then. Like, basically at that age, I sort of just wanted my own space that was outside of a bedroom, I think, was the main
thing. Yeah, this is it. And I totally feel that. Like, my parents always tell me, this is your house. This is, you know, this is your home, blah, blah, blah. But there are moments that you feel like, no, this isn't my home. Like, when, you know, they've got their mates over and, you know, you're sort of tucked away in your room and you don't want to get seen. You don't want to, like, you just don't want to kind of interrupt their evening. And I always go and say hello and stuff like that. But then they're having their moment with their mates and whatnot. And then, you know, if I want to have an early night, which is a lot, you can't tell them, keep the noise. And I am, like, I feel like at home, I turn into this nag of a person where I don't like, you know, I don't like loud TV on in the morning. I need an hour or so to defrost. And I don't like loud TV till really late at night. So I just feel like I'm constantly nagging, like, turn the volume down, do this, do that, like, all the time. And you just feel like, well, actually, this is your house. I don't want to make you feel as, you know, you've worked all your lives to build this beautiful house. I don't want to come in here and boss you about. But then you're telling me this is my house. But then at the same time, I can't live in a way that I'm happy or peaceful or comfortable. Like, I just don't feel peace. And it's so true. Like, things like, I would want to decorate it in a certain way. And, you know, we're currently decorating our living room. And my parents said, like, that, you know, Aunty, you go ahead, you do exactly whatever you want to our living room. But at the end of the day, I still have to run all the decisions by them. And then everyone's still got their opinion. And it's not mine. It's not mine. You're not just letting me do what I want. I might, you know, you might allow me to spend whatever, but at the end of the day, you've got your own vision too. And I've when I went to have the conversation with my mum and dad to say, like, yeah, I want to move out, my mum, you know, bless her, she understands a little bit more, and she's just, yeah, a bit more chilled. Whereas my dad took it quite personally, and
you think almost, I think that they think, oh, that she's ungrateful, look at how much I've done for her, she doesn't respect me or appreciate it. I think that's probably,
yeah,
in a dad, which is hard to navigate.
Yeah, and they almost feel like, well, why wouldn't you want to live? Like, you know, we've done this all for you. We work all our lives and we do all of this for you, which I completely appreciate and I respect. And I'm, and like you're saying, I'm so lucky and grateful to have a roof over my head. I'm lucky to have a space that I can film in and do all of that. But it just gets to a point where it's like those material things aren't enough and you need to do something for your mental sake.
It's probably a mental shift, like you want to move on with the next stage of your life but you feel like you can't.
Yeah.
But is it the case where your family, would they be open to you living with friends, or is it just more the case of you living with a guy? Because I know that is the other end of the spectrum there. I know that's quite difficult for a lot of parents to swallow.
It's more like just living out by myself, so I don't have like even that option to go and live out with a guy right now. But and I'm in the process of like wanting to look for somewhere to live in, and I've mentally sort of checked out, if you know what I mean. I actually wanted to ask you, if you weren't in a relationship, would you have waited to meet someone to move out with, or would you have been happy to just do it on your own?
You know what, that's such a good question. I haven't even thought about it, but I love the idea of living with girlfriends though. Like, I feel like I've jumped past that, and that would have been so much fun. I like to think I would do something cool and fun and free like that, but maybe but then again, I have got a really like level-headed head on me where I'm like, maybe I should stay and save for a property. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And what you're doing, Anshul, is living with your family, although it can be so testing at times and feel like you're being held back from moving on, there are so many advantages to that as well.
Definitely.
And living with a guy is hard. Like, honestly, like, I didn't expect some of it. Like, and this is why I'm glad I didn't wait until marriage to then move in with a guy for the first time, because I wouldn't want my first couple of months of marriage to be teething issues of living together. And that's what it ends up being. And I'm so glad we've got past all that. We've gone from, although we're not married yet, we've gone through so much together, and we haven't been together that long. And that means, you know, buying a property, living together in a really small confined space during a lockdown, like,
oh my God,
moving house, getting, buying a second property, and both navigating businesses. So Jack now works in my dad's business, which is even more intertwined. So, I mean, and we're not married, but we are. We are definitely like tied together in all sorts of other ways. So I think that's why as well. I think when there's a mortgage involved, right, there's like 30 years on that mortgage. That's probably more of a commitment in some respects than a marriage.
Yes.
And a lot of people do see it that way. But I absolutely 100% understand that moving out with your boyfriend and buying a house together isn't something a lot of Indian parents are going to be on board with. And I am lucky that I was able to persuade my dad, but he wasn't very strict in the first place generally. Like he had views I didn't always agree with, and we didn't always get along, but he was never strict with me. Like, he used to drop me off to nightclubs with my friends. Like, he was randomly really chill about random stuff. Like, if I dropped a glass of water on the floor, all hell will break loose. If I go and get my belly button pierced, does not care. Unpredictable guy. So I think I don't know, I didn't know what to
think. Our dads would make good friends, because like, he's not strict with some things, and some things it's like, oh, I'm really open and modern, and then there's other things where so backwards, like literally. And I would never have expected it, because I'm like, but wait, you're what?
You mean, I think it helps where he approved of Jack as well, like genuinely really liked him, knew he was a sensible, like, you know, he has security about him, where he's a good guy, a good job, all this sort of stuff. And I think that helped. If I were to move out with a guy my dad didn't approve of, then that would be a whole different drama that I'd have to go through.
And what if you said you wanted to move out by yourself?
On my own, to be honest, I think they would have been quite open to that, but I don't know if I would have actually done that. I'm so independent, right? So even now, I love my space. Like sometimes I just want to be on my own, watch my own stuff on Netflix. Yes. I'm like, what are you doing tonight? Are you upstairs, downstairs? Like, what vibe are you on? And sometimes he's on a solo vibe. I'm like, yeah, me too. Get my glass of wine, chill out. And I don't even look at my phone. I don't answer any WhatsApps. Like it's just me.
Yes.
I'm getting really good at that. But it's taken me 28 years to get good at that. Before, I probably struggled. Like I like to think I was like a independent woman, but I was always in like back-to-back long-term relationships and always around my family. I've got two older brothers, so it was quite a busy house, and I got a load of cousins, so I've always been around people.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I've never like been to the cinema on my own, although I'd love to do it, it'd be so empowering, but I don't know if I would back then have been comfortable living on my own. Like now I would. Now I know, yeah. I've got this in the bag, but maybe not a couple of years ago. I think I'd have been too scared.
Do you know what? I've actually been to the cinema on my own just by the off chance, because the friend that I was meant to go to the cinema with, she was like running so late that I just went in anyway. And then I just didn't even notice that she wasn't there. And when she turned up, I was more annoyed that she'd turned up, because I was actually enjoying watching it. But because you could fully just get in the zone. You don't have to worry about anyone. Do it. Go to the cinema by yourself.
I will. I actually will before I'm 30, because I think that's quite a, I think that's really empowering. And also I've become obsessed with just shopping on my own.
Oh yeah, I do that all the time.
I don't even, like, I'm getting to the point, I don't really want my mum there, and I love shopping with my mum. I just don't want other people's opinions anymore. Like I'm so done. Like you know, if you like something, you know yourself now. So I'm like, I can go shopping.
Yeah.
But you know that awkward moment when you're like, oh, do you want to go in that shop? Oh, but I do. And I haven't got time for it. Like, I just want to shop on my own, do my own thing.
Yeah.
Not have any opinions. And then, you know, I just want to, I think it's that like trusting yourself more. You want to spend more time on your own.
Definitely. Like,
validation from other people so much.
Definitely. I feel like I do so much on my own. Like I shop on my own all the time. Like I'd rather just, because that way I know I'm running on my own time. I can come and go as I please. I don't have to worry about anyone. It's so much easier. It's so much easier.
I think there's two things you should really focus on being good at, but this is just something so you can be good in your own company. And that's to sit in silence. Like, you know, when, so if you're going to supermarket, my brother always puts headphones in. Like he can't do anything that's slightly monotonous without headphones, which I get. Like, it's always
really
better to,
yeah,
just like a podcast or music or whatever. But I always think it's more of a challenge to just hang out on your own in your own head. And it's hard. Like, it's actually really difficult. And coming from me, like, I don't sleep very well. So I probably...
Same.
I think it's a bit of a hypocrite. But I think it's important to be good at stuff like that and be good at being on your own. So I think if I wasn't with anyone at this stage now, at the stage I'm at now, I would actually really like to live on my own.
That's where I'm at right now.
You should do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Making those moves.
Do you think you will?
Why do you think? Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I'm like I said, I'm mentally checked out. I'm taking those steps. I'm like trying to weigh up my options, what plan A and plan B is. And, you know, like you said, there are advantages to living at home, which is I've been able to save. And it will be such a huge change because, I mean, I've only just learned how to cook in lockdown in the last year. I didn't know I could cook before. And I feel like, I don't know, since I've discovered I could cook, I was like, oh my God, I'll be fine when I move out because I can feed myself. It's just like little things. And I know it sounds silly, but these are like, they're little wins for me to know that I'll be okay by myself.
Yeah, good for you. That's amazing. I think the one thing that is quite interesting is the amount of adulting that you end up doing. Like, it is next level. And I'm actually really glad I went to a flat first, because I didn't have to cope with like a garden. There were loads of like different things I didn't have to deal with straight away. To go from living at home where, you know, you clean your room and you clean the kitchen, you do everything that your mum asks you to do or needs help with, and when people come over you're hosting with them. But then it's like you're hosting on your own. You're having people around, and you're responsible for putting the snacks out. You're responsible for making sure the toilet.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming at times, I'll be honest with you. And that's where a lot of my teething issues with Jack were, which was, hang on, why is this subconsciously falling on me? Is it because I'm a woman? And I didn't like that. And even though I'm a neat freak, I love it. Like, I'm actually really domesticated and I enjoy it. But I was taking it on subconsciously because I am in the female role, despite the fact we both work hard all day each week. So I found that difficult. So it's the level of adulting is something I was personally ready for, to be honest. It's what, you know, you're hungry for that sort of thing at a certain age. But definitely it's different, because even just little things, you come back from a hard day at work and you think, oh my God, there's honestly nothing to eat unless I make it.
Yeah.
Whoa, like, it's different. Like, I think that's one of the biggest things is the food situation. And like, oh, hang on, we don't have any milk because I didn't go to the supermarket.
Yeah.
But then again, I think for me, I find it difficult as well because there's two of us. So then I'm kind of having to shop on behalf of two people. Whereas if it was all on my terms, I think it would be a bit more manageable because I'm just getting a few bits here and there. And I don't eat as much as Jack. So, you know, I think it would be amazing.
You're giving me some hope, but you're scaring me a little bit at the same time. But it's good because you're making me think of things that like I just hadn't thought of, like, you know, like, yeah, hosting is scary as it is. And we've got I've got a lot of siblings, and I know that there'll be an occasion where I have to host all the siblings and the kids all at once when we do our like big get-togethers. And how are we going to manage that?
I don't mean to scare you, I just thought of what I want to let you know is to just, you know, enjoy your mum's cooking. Sitting with your family and watching a movie, because I kind of miss that like group atmosphere sometimes, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I love hanging out with Jack. We do everything together, but obviously then lockdown as well, like I miss the camaraderie of like a noisy household. There's something really lovely.
That's so nice to hear.
Yeah,
because I'm like at a point where I can't stand it. Like, I literally can't stand like a noisy household. Or if there is like a movie being put on, I won't watch it with everyone because I just would prefer to be on my own, or like I'll watch it in my own time, in my own space. And I don't know why that is. And that's really odd.
So natural to want your own space. Like, you're your own person. You wouldn't normally be spending so much time with people, you know, if you had the choice. That's what I mean, as in you've kind of feel like you've had to do that for a couple of years, so it's completely natural. But I would say the odd day, like maybe Sunday, just sit with your mum if you're close to your mum. Like, I miss that a lot.
And yeah,
even though I pop to mum's house all the time, I don't feel as though I would sit there and chill for a whole evening. Because, or we used to watch movies back to back together, and I used to obviously crawl upstairs and go to bed at like 2 a.m. because that lives there. But you don't do that when you move out. You miss that.
No.
Like, you when you go around, my mum hosts for me, and it's weird.
Oh my God.
You know, she'll make dinner for us. Like, it becomes an event.
Yeah.
I just miss
hanging. It's a thing.
Out. Yeah. And that's one thing I would say, you know, you sound so ready to live on your own, and I think it would be an amazing step for you. You've got it all figured out. But just savour these little bits while you have it, I think, just in the meantime.
Yeah. But then Such good advice. But why do you think there is like such a stigma around brown girls living independently?
That's a good question. I personally, the more I think about it, because I've experienced living with a partner before marriage quite intensely, as in we've been through a lot together with moving. We've moved house, we've bought a rent, like we're doing a renovation project. That is such a big thing to do. And
that is
then I think, right, I've had to put the wedding planning off on the back burner because I can't physically cope with making so many decisions for the house and my business and then doing the wedding at the same time. It would just be way too much for me. So as a coping mechanism, that's been pushed back.
Yeah.
And I'm very comfortable with that because I want to enjoy that. I don't want to just do it as another thing on my to-do list. Like, I want to sit down as I've always imagined and plan my wedding and be really excited about it. And I'm not right now.
Yeah.
So the thought of a couple having just planned a wedding and gone through the entire wedding celebrations, which are exhausting, like so incredibly amazing, but exhausting. Then going on a honeymoon, which, you know, is fantastic. You probably feel a lot more relaxed after the honeymoon. And then sort of going to that stage of either living with the in-laws, so you're moving in together straight away. Like, you haven't been able to really even technically spend the night together. You've had to like hide that or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, moving in together, maybe with the outside pressure of it being within your in-laws' house, so you have that judgment as well. And then maybe then renovating a house and then trying for children, like all in this bunched up like couple of years when you've got all this time, like you are now, you're saying you're ready, like you're ready to be independent. And like I'm at 26, was ready to renovate. Like I was down for it. Yet because of this sort of these standards, I would have ended up, if everyone had their way, I would have ended up just doing all of these, the like four most stressful things you could possibly do in your life: get married, renovate a house, live with a partner, and then buy for a child.
Yeah.
What, 3 years?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that would have been horrendous. Like,
but that is a lot of brown girls' reality. That is what they have to go through. And I mean, we have it quite lucky in some ways that we get a little bit of freedom and some independence, and we can manage some things. But a lot of brown girls come from a place of fully being controlled by their parents, or then by their husband, or then by their in-laws. Yeah. And they just never really fully get to be themselves, which is, that's really tough.
I've got friends as well who live in with in-laws, and generally they've got a good experience. It's going well and everything. But it is the case where, you know, if I were to meet my girlfriend for a night out and stuff, she'd still have to like put a big coat on over her outfit and sort of sneak out of the house. And I was like, I was doing that when I was 15. Like, I can't. It would be so difficult to sort of move out of your family, who probably had got to the point where they, you know, understand you and respect you as a mature woman, and then go back and then move into another household where you probably have to prove that all over again.
Yes, it's so true.
Obviously it depends.
And you're under more scrutiny.
Yeah, you are. And I've received quite a few messages from girls as well about living with in-laws and how they're really quite unhappy. And I actually, unfortunately, I'm not in a position where I can really advise anything, so I've not lived through it. But it does make me think, I feel very lucky that I am living with Jack. Like, I'm glad I've got the teething issues out of the way. We can renovate our house, then we can do the wedding, and then we can worry about doing like making a family. And I think I'm able to do things in these manageable stages. Otherwise, I really would have been way too stressed out in all in one go. And when you're married, you have that expectation to have kids straight away. Whereas I think we bought ourselves a bit of time to have a bit of fun, like, and just enjoy ourselves and have our friends, you know? So yeah. I appreciate my situation is a bit different to what most people can have with, what's achievable for them. I know
a load of couples that
have sort of got married, had COVID-based weddings where they couldn't have the people they wanted, and there were masks and things like that, just so they could actually live together finally. So it's sort of being quite rushed just to get to that point because they're so ready to move in together.
Yeah, I have a friend that's like literally, she needs the wedding to happen so that she can move out and live with her husband then, or boyfriend, fiance. I don't know what to call him yet because I don't know where they're at, but just so that she could live with her partner and almost then get some freedom, get that independence and be by herself. And she's literally losing her mind, she's at her wit's end. She's, you know, and it gets like that. You get to a point, you get to a stage where you are sort of just done with your parents, not because you don't love them, and you're not done with them completely, like, I'm never going to speak to you, I don't love you. It's not a personal thing, which is what I think they don't understand. It's just you're at a different mental stage in your life, and it's sad that you almost have to force yourself to get married or do those things so that you can leave. And I don't know, please everyone, I guess.
The weddings that are, I've moved my wedding to next year because I personally wasn't really interested in a COVID-y style wedding. And again, I'm lucky I don't have that pressure that I can't physically live with Jack until I am married. So I was able to do that. You know what else I've noticed is, so I'm quite open about the fact that Jack and I've got a house, we've got a house page and everything that we share. And I love it because I'm just really into all of it. And I've noticed I haven't received any judgment from followers about the fact Jack and I live together. And I receive judgment.
That's great.
A lot on my Instagram. Like, people love to hate, which is fine. Just one thing, no one's really questioned. They've almost just asked advice, like, how did you sort of go about telling your dad? And nobody has been like, oh my God, I can't believe you lived with your partner before. So it must just be a really like older generational thing, because not one person has been like offended by the fact that I'm quite open about living with Jack.
Yeah,
I find that quite interesting. It must be dying out in a sense, that mentality, which hopefully is a positive thing.
Yeah, in some ways I personally see it more as like an inspirational thing that you've done that and you've been able to and it's nice to see a more positive side and positive story, because most people are living through the negative side, like myself, or you know, my siblings or my sisters. They wouldn't have been able to move in with their partners before marriage. It would have been a straight no and completely out of the question. So it's nice to see someone having a positive experience in you know, as a brown girl in one aspect. And that's definitely why I even wanted to have you on here on this podcast, because yeah, you're having a completely different experience with this. And I love that. And I just want to show people that, you know, you can do it. And there are ways of going about it. And like you said, you know, the way you approached your dad was nice and calm and collected. And I think by approaching him in that way as well, it just was probably a lot more reassuring that you'd thought things through. And I think that's also really important for parents, that they want to know that you've been able to actually think about the whole process rather than making a sort of rash, almost childlike decision. So it just shows a level of maturity, like you were saying.
Definitely. Thank you. I do feel like, I think he knew it was a good decision. And the reason why, I look back, right, we've got assets as a couple now. We are heading into marriage. We've also realised we don't want to spend all this money on a showy wedding anymore, because that just, it's done in a weekend. It makes no financial sense really to do that. And I know it's special. And I've grown up my whole life wanting this big wedding, and now it's here. I don't feel that pull to it. I'd rather knock through my kitchen, Anshul, like honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I'm at. And I think it's quite reassuring to me, because I get to just, with COVID, it's given me an excuse as well to sort of just strip things back with the wedding, which and also just and actually take a step back and look at it and be like, how important is, we want to get married. Like I want him to be my husband 100%. But how important is a big flashy wedding, really?
Yeah.
I just want a party it's what I'm here for. I'm here for a party with my friends and I want to have a good time. And I'm looking forward to the Sikh ceremony a lot, because I've grown up watching them, and I've got a lot of brothers in my family and cousin brothers. Yeah. And that's just, to me, I can't wait. But there are small elements of the wedding I'm looking forward to, but I don't need big flashy wedding anymore. And
tell
the venue as well, we're about to spend like 50 grand on, oh, sorry, we won't be doing that anymore. It's empowering. I'm like, what room are we going to do next? I'm so excited. So
exactly. I mean, just think of like what else you could do. You could have a really sick honeymoon. You could and travel and experience something together, rather than feed like a certain number of guests that are going to just complain anyway.
Yeah, my rule actually was, if I haven't seen them in a year, my rule was, if they haven't visited our flat or asked questions about it, because we were living there for like three years. That's a long time to not have visited or spoken to someone on the phone, to then get an invite to a wedding. That was my rule. I was like, Mum, if I haven't spoken to them in a year, or if they haven't come around our flat or seen us or anything, then they can't be there. I'm sorry.
What was your mum's reaction? Like, how did she feel about that?
Again, it was like, oh, what would we say? What would be people be offended? Yeah. But then again, COVID has allowed everyone to sort of just rethink, you know, who you actually need at your wedding. And I don't think I would have got away with it if it wasn't for COVID, to be honest. I would have had to people please to some extent, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been interesting. But what I was saying about the fact that we've got like assets now as a couple is actually, you know, if you explain that perhaps to your dad, who might naturally be more financially minded or want the best for you, really, because that we weren't just going to rent a bougie apartment in London and like spunk all our money and like smoke weed all day. Like we actually are ambitious people. We wanted a property. We wanted to do things. And the way I presented them to my dad, I think, was I presented them in the right way, which were, it would be beneficial going forward. And I also said, I want to do this on my own as well, which was quite important. Like my dad funded a few bits for me growing up, but like naturally did a lot for me, so for me to actually be able to say that as well I think it shifted something in our relationship a little bit, like I was actually grown up.
Well, yeah, this is the thing. I think it's different if you were going to him saying, this is what I want to do, but I need 10 grand from you, or I need, you know, X amount, or this and this. But if you are going and you're saying, well, I've actually saved this money, I've done this, and I'm going to do this by myself, it really does, like, make a shift in the conversation, in the type of conversation you're having.
100%. And you know, with the expectation side of it, so, you know, we're saying my family didn't really expect anything from me growing up. You don't have to just slot into those expectation holes. So imagine people have got these little holes, but you don't have to just slot into them. You can just do what you want and people will follow you around and, like, figure out where you're at. And I don't know about this, you know, the in-laws expecting certain things of you. I'm like, if you really were sure and you had conviction in your voice and you were like, look, we're going to be doing this, this is how we feel about a certain thing, I'm sure you'll be taken seriously, or more seriously than you perhaps would have anticipated. Because when people are reassured by how confident you are in a decision, I think they do start to back you more than if you're scared about it so much. It makes sense sometimes to live together before you get married. Because also, if you're single, it's important. You get to know so much about yourself, and also you get to know a lot about you as a couple. If you're living together, like, what if you hate each other? Honestly, that can happen. Like,
yes,
you might find you're not that compatible, because it's hard work. Like, I'm very neat. Jack's very messy. Like, that was hard work. So, you know. Yeah. It could be harder. Like, you could find out these habits of someone that you really don't agree with. Like, I don't know. I just think there's less at risk.
Definitely. If you know what you're getting yourself into before you actually tie the knot, I completely agree. I mean, I have these conversations all the time at home where I'm like, well, what if, you know, he's got these awful habits that I don't know about because I've not spent that time with him at home. It's one thing going over to watch a movie for a couple of hours and then, you know, me going home. But it's really different seeing how somebody else lives, you know, like how they spend their mornings, or yeah, just generally their cleanliness, their tidiness, all of that kind of stuff. It does make a difference. And I think the types of relationships we want to have now are different to the ones that our mums and dads were having, because they almost kind of just had to get on with things. And they almost just had to accept each other. And in a way, that's a good thing. But at the same time, it's not always the best. Like, do you want to live your life constantly pissed off with the other person because of their habits? No. No, you don't.
I've grown up around it. Like, my mum and dad don't, like, always used to fight. And I was just like, I don't want this. Like, I don't want to just be shoved with someone because we're both of the same background and all this sort of stuff. Like, it would just be... And yeah. I used to talk about marriage with someone who it would not have worked with. I don't even know where I'd be now. I would just be some sort of housewife, like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. I want to be my own woman. I want someone who respects me. And I want to show my family what I can achieve if I'm given some wings, you know. And I think, yeah, just the pressure that is already on you as soon as you get married, I think it makes sense to just, because imagine relationships at that stage, all of this expectation, pressure and judgment in a couple of years condensed down, I think is really stressful for them. Whereas if you're able to pace it out, it makes a lot more sense. But I know, yeah, I mean, it's easier said than done. There are certain things that we have to
definitely,
you know, fight through and conversations we have to have. But yeah, I do really
definitely. I've got two last questions for you, and then we're going to play a quick game. But one of them is, what advice would you give to someone who's scared or lacking courage, but wants to take this step for themselves, or, you know, with a partner, but they need to have this conversation with their parents or whatever, and they're just scared?
I would say to get your ducks in a row first and almost present the idea that's already figured out, and also be respectful and mindful that the main concern, especially from what I understand of Indian parents, is what will other people think. So I think when I spoke with my dad and I addressed that kind of immediately, it reassured him. So I think if you were to present it as you guys being able to buy a property together and have assets under your name, and maybe people that he was worried about judging wouldn't have to know. It can be secret. It's no one's business, really. And then thirdly, just to be respectful of the fact that this, if your parents were to agree to this, it's not the norm. It's not the norm in our culture at all. So the fact when they do, then just be appreciative of it, because a lot of parents wouldn't let you do that based on just general like standards in our culture. So yeah. I think, yeah, I present it as a beneficial option for everyone financially and, you know, mentally, if everyone's living together and it's not working out and stuff, then yeah, reassurance and respect has to come in play, no matter what your relationship's like with your dad. Because I know firsthand that navigating a serious conversation with my dad was very foreign our relationship, but it worked. And I don't know what it would have been. I think it was very circumstantial. Like, I don't know how I would have reacted if it was someone else. I think because he was like Jack, and it was time for me to leave. I was in the way. I felt it. Like,
you feel it, but they probably don't feel like you're in the way. I promise you, they probably didn't feel like, because I always say that I'm in the way here, and they're like, you're not in the way. We don't think you're in the way at all, but I feel like I am in the way. And it's so interesting that you say to sort of address the what would other people think. I see it as like a, so what? So what if they think that I've left, or like they know that I've left, or like I almost want to loudly and proudly shout that I've left, or like, or when I do, because I want them to know that I'm doing what they don't expect. And I don't know if it is the right thing to do, but I almost feel like, I almost feel proud to do something that might shock them.
I think if you're going to live on your own,
yeah,
you tell everyone you've done.
It's different when if it's with a guy. It is different if it's with a guy.
That involves a bit more like awkwardness, but
yes,
I would do the same. I'd be like, oh, auntie, come around my house, and then I'd do like this lavish dinner party, and she'll be like, what the hell? I didn't know she was so grown up. Like, I'd want to prove a little bit of a point as well. Like, I fully
understand that.
But I think with the guy thing, I'm like, who are you worried about? Let's talk about how can we make sure they don't know. I mean,
no, this is true. This is true. And it almost is a bit of a, like you're saying, a respect thing, and maybe even a little bit of a reputation thing as well. My other question is, what message would you send to the talking aunties or family members that are putting pressure on young girls or guys that are just trying to live their best lives?
Oh my God. Okay. I would say it makes no sense to force everybody to get married and squish in a massive house renovation, trying for a family, going through a wedding into a couple of years. It's too much and would really stress the couple out. And it, you know, and you don't like divorce either. So where does that leave people, you know?
Yeah.
That's honestly what I'd say.
Yeah, amen.
Just let people go at a decent pace. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. I love that. No, that's such great advice, and a really, really good message to the aunties. If you're listening, just take it easy. Okay, we're going to play a word association game. So I'm going to say a word, and you're just going to say the first word that comes to your mind, okay?
Oh my God, okay.
Don't be nervous, it's all good. Right, you ready?
Yeah.
Aunties.
Sorry. Oh, that's so bad.
Burfi.
Oh, chocolate. I don't know why.
Weddings.
Laser beams. I don't know where my mind is going.
I have never heard that before, but okay.
I actually will not be having laser beams at my wedding. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing it in my head now, but yeah. Okay, swear word.
Oh, I was about to drop the C-bomb, which I will not do. I don't know why that was in my head.
The C-bomb. Oh my God, the F-bomb always comes to my mind. Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, I need to think that one out. Money.
Green.
Makeup.
Oh, shiny.
Family.
Cuddles.
Chai.
Gossip.
Oh, dogs.
Stupid, but in a cute way.
Coronavirus.
Debilitating.
Oh, good word. Good word. Yes, well done.
Really surprised at some of my words. I don't understand where my mind was at. I can't.
That was so much fun. Yeah. Thank you. Where can everyone find you? Please share your handles.
Oh, so my Instagram is at Nikki Mahone. So it's N-I-K-I-M-A-H-O-N. And I've got my own podcast, Rose Goals, but I'm yet to record some more episodes. But I am a small business owner and I share a lot of behind the scenes of that. And yeah, generally trying to empower women as well. So yeah, I would love it if you came and said hello.
Thank you so much, Nikki, for such an open and honest conversation with me today. I love that I find out so much more about people through doing this podcast, and I find that I'm not so alone in my problems and have someone to relate to after I can have such a deep chat with them. I actually really hope you guys feel the same when you're listening, and I hope that if any of you are thinking of moving out with a partner or even by yourself, that this episode has given you the courage to make that step. You can do it, sis. Don't forget, you can now pre-order a signed copy of What Would the Auntie Say, the book, over on Waterstones and WH Smiths. If you're listening on the Entel app, there will be direct links to where you can purchase, as well as links to anything else we spoke about today. Lastly, please subscribe to the podcast, rate and review. It really does help a girl out. And thank you so much for listening. I can't wait for you to join me on the next one.